Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes your homies can be your worst enemies. They're the closest to you. They know your ins and outs. Act like bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, love.
Got to go that way.
Never know, rain, sleet, hail, snow, so you gotta.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Nakikio, aka Miss Keep It Moving. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Miss Keep It Moving Blog Talk Radio Show. Hope y'all had an awesome day. I did, considering I saw the devil this morning, but it's all good. I blocked that out. So, we had a pretty good day at work. I'm glad about that thing. And today was interesting. I work with a very interesting group of people. I think I'm the oldest one in there. Today I was the oldest one in there today. It was quite interesting to hear some of the conversations that were going on. But before we get to that, I want to let y'all know that it's May. It's not over yet. Almost there. But it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I've been doing a lot of sharing on mental health awareness and education, and how important it is that we start speaking and stop stigma. So that's what I've been campaigning on and working on to get through, and it's doing very well. So thank you for coming to the show. Again, I hope y'all had a good day and everything went well for you. If it didn't, start over tomorrow. That's all I can say. Today, of course, was a last-minute show I decided to do because one of my coworkers, Lord, I tell you, I just don't know about that child sometimes. I call her church lady. But I didn't hear the conversation or know what was going on until I heard her say or ask, "Are you married? What happened?" I'm like, is she about to start counseling? This man got like 500 gray hairs in his head, and she got like 2. Why is she counseling this man about whether he's married or not? So, of course, my ears went do 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 do. I started to listen because that's just how I am. So, the question was, now I'm going to assume that she asked him if he was married, and he said no, apparently. He had been married before. But the lady that was with him, unbeknownst to me, that she was the one sitting in the corner, but unbeknownst to me, the lady was with him, and he and my special guest were having this elaborate conversation about marriage, and she's questioning him about why he won't marry her, and why is he holding on to her, and I'm trying to get her to understand that, baby, he ain't holding on to her, but without him letting him hold on to her. So it was an interesting conversation, and I so enjoyed the different perspectives, but it was a very, very good conversation. And the whole day she went on, I wish I could have talked to her. Well, no, you weren't going to talk to her because his spirit was blocking her spirit, and even if she wanted to talk to you, she wasn't going to get up and talk to you because she didn't know you like that anyway. So we're going to talk to her. So we're going to have Natasha and my girl Destiny's on. Both of these chicks are younger than I am, but they have these old-ass souls, especially church lady. She just, I don't know what breed of person she's from, but anyway, I love the way she thinks, and I was happy to say, you know what, we're doing a show tonight, and you're coming on. And she was like, okay. And she even came on early. I couldn't believe it. But listen, we'll get right into the topic of tying the knot, a mental health perspective. That's going to be the part I come in. I'm going to bring the mental health side in while she tries to keep me in the reality of it. So stay tuned, y'all. Y'all know this is radio. This is what we do. I got to go to a break and come on back. So y'all hold on to your horses. Coming back right after this song. All right?
Hit me.
Cause I will jab thee and slam thee and Bobby Boucher your ass, G. Yeah, yeah.
All Hey, that was Missy Elliott. Why You All In My Grill, which is kind of befitting for the show tonight, because Tasha, why was you all up in that man's grill like that, girl? Why was you all up in that man's grill like that? You was in his grill. Everybody, welcome back to the Keep It Moving show. And I want to introduce you to Latasha Austin, Miss Church Lady.
Yeah.
All up in the man's grill. Got that lady in the back over there in the corner. Like, what the hell did she do? Is he over there? Like, what? Anyway, so Tasha.
Yes.
Tell me how this ended. Please, we're going to talk about tying a knot. Even you and Destiny came up with this elaborate title. Of course, I have to put a spin on everything. So we are talking about tying the knot with a K/NOT. Knot, K-N-O-T, or N-O-T. Which one are you in? And we're going to look at that also from your side and from the side I like to always come from. We want to put a mental health perspective on it, because you asked a lot of questions, and they were good questions, but I was trying to get you to look at the whole picture, and you were like, I'm looking at the whole picture. No, but you're not looking at the whole picture. But we said we're going to stop talking about this, and we're going to bring this thing public, and that's what we're doing. So you tell us, we can't call out the gentleman's name, so we're just going to say we were talking to a patient about his relationship, so we got to keep HIPAA in line. So let's do that. So tell us how this conversation just started, because all I heard was, because apparently the conversation started before I heard your question of, are you married? I'm like, really? He is old. Like, first I was like, excuse me. Then I heard him say no. And I heard him answer some other questions or whatever. I'm like, wait a minute, is she about to start a geriatric counseling session here? What is going on? Because the question knows the person in me is going to stop what I was doing and listen. So go and talk to us about what made you ask that man that question?
Can you hear me?
Very well, yep.
Okay, so pretty much, when I was taking him out, what did I say? Oh, he said, I pretty much said, well, how are you doing today? He was like, I'm doing fine. I said, I am. He said, how are you? I said, I'm doing great to walk, you know, God's green earth. And he was just like, but it would be even more greater if, you know, I was walking in heaven with God or something like that. And I was just like, what? Wait a minute. I was like, don't you have family, loved ones? Like, are you ready to go? And he was just like, yeah, I'm pretty much ready to go. And I was just like, well, are you married? And then he was like, no, I'm not married. And then I was just like, oh, okay, well, what happened? You know, I came all nosy. And he was just like, things just didn't work out. You know, it wasn't all her fault. You know, he played a role in it as well. And then I was just like, well, why didn't you guys fight for the marriage? Didn't you want to fight for the marriage? Didn't she want to fight for the marriage? And he was just like, well, not really. We kind of like grew apart or whatever, and that is what it is. And then he steps to the side and he points to a beautiful woman sitting in the corner. And he was like, but, you know, I have that of 35 years. That's a 35-year relationship right there. And I said, well, why won't you marry her? And he was just like, he leaned over the table, pretty much hovered over me, and was just like, why would I want to be with, you know, pretty much a woman, stay with her for 24 hours a day, like, be married to, why would I want to do that? I don't want to do that again. And then he goes on and talks about, you know, he made bad decisions in his life, which had him homeless at a time or whatever. And but clearly he had the support of that woman. She was helping him out, you can tell, or whatever. She was there supporting him morally, I guess, giving him the moral support that he needed, since he didn't have another female. And then he brings up, you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 about, you know, there's a time for everything, you know, a time past, time to heal, time to speak. And he was pretty much using that. And I so bad wanted to throw at him Ecclesiastes 4:9. I really wanted to throw that back at him so bad, where it talked about two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Anyone who falls and has no one to help him, then help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And I wanted to throw that back at him, but I know I ain't had the time to go back and forth. So you can't present a little piece of the Bible and manipulate it how you want it, and then you're stringing this woman along. You know what I'm saying? She's waiting patiently for her season for you to get on one knee and propose to her when it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. And you saw how she looked when she got up. Like, the look in her face is like, she's way down. She was tired, and I don't feel like he needs to, like, string her along. And I know you're going to say, well, it's a mental thing. It is a mental thing.
I am going to say that. Yes, I'm going to bring it up because I have a lot to do with it. However, you mentioned him saying, you know, about mentioning Ecclesiastes, with it's a time for this and a time for that. I'm not going to pretend I know every quote of the Bible, but what I need, when I know how to find it. But I think what in his case, because you have to understand, I know what you're, I can see where you're going with it, but this is where I was saying earlier, you have to know that you have to know the whole story. Now, we know that, you know, of 35 years, he's been with this woman, he has not married her, it doesn't look good at all. To me, and this is just my perception, it doesn't look good for either of them. Because, one, you are a man laying with this woman, and you have not asked for her hand in marriage. On the other hand, here you are, a woman, you have not put your foot down as a woman of worth, as a woman of God, as say, you will take my hand in marriage or you will no longer lay with me. Now, you don't need the Bible to understand that part. You just don't. This is what I'm saying. You have to know your self-worth. And as a woman, there's no way in God's green earth that I'm going to be with a man for that long and he don't give me, he ain't going to put a ring on it. Yeah, go by. You got to go.
But that's why I was talking about, there's a soul tie there. Like, there's a strong soul tie. Because even you said, like, even if I was to ask her to come up, she wouldn't come up because his strong spirit is blocking hers. Because her spirit is so weak right now. It's so weak that it's submitting to flesh instead of, to me, the spiritual. Because if she was walking spiritually, her eyes would be open and more, and she'd be seeing more clear that this is not where she needs to be. She's enabling,
you're
if
right.
You want to,
but whose fault is
she's
that?
Enabling his mental health.
She's enabling him to. Right now, we're not even gonna put the mental health portion in it. Right, we're gonna talk about just actions and decisions. See, right now, we know about that spirit thing. We know about that because, you know, we go to church sometimes. Well, you know, you go to church more than me, but I'm just saying. I've been in a church, and I know, you know, how that all works. But we have, I always say God gives us free will. He gives us knowledge that we need. He helps us get through whatever we need to get through if we are focused on him. Clearly, she's not focusing on God and what he has for her. She's focusing on what she wants for herself.
And
he might be good to her. He might be good on her. But he ain't good
for her. He's not good to her.
He good to her because she's been there for 35 years. So he good to her. Oh, he good. He good on her, too. But he's not good for her. You know what I'm saying. Come on now.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right.
It ain't about her flesh has taken over because he's giving her good loving, and that ain't what it should be about. So, of course, she's taking her focus from God and not allowing God to lead her in the way that she needs to go. She's decided to
But go that's ahead. The thing. If he, you know, he started throwing out, you know, his little scripture, and I'm just like, if you're so, you know, holy and so mighty, and you know the word, it's just like release her and let her go.
But that's how you took it. You went there. You got even more frustrated because of the fact, and I saw it, and I can remember just as good as day when Michael and I were so heavy in church. Girl, we were so heavy in church. They ordained us deacon and Deacon S. Walton. Okay, so I am an ordained deacon, and so is my husband. That is how much we was dedicated to the church, because we were so into the Bible that we were losing our whole earthly good. We were no good to anybody because we trying to get people to understand. You got to understand the Bible. You got to understand the Bible. What we didn't get is that everybody's going to have their own perception of what the Bible is stating. But what we have to understand, we're not going to agree, even though he quoted the Bible, that's how he understands it. It may not be the right thing, but he took that one scripture, he made it apply to his, he didn't apply it to anybody else's life, he applied it to his own. Because like I said earlier, he's been through something, and you can tell it. You know that man been through something. And
all been through, and I'm pretty sure she's been through. So he can't just be selfish and be like, well, I've been through this, and if it takes five more years
until I die. How you know he's being selfish? How do you know that he has not said to this woman, babe, look, I love you, and I love you enough to let you go. You deserve so much more than me. How do you know he has
said
that?
You want to know why? Because he said, I know her percentage of marriage is very high. He never said, but I've never told her, or I told her that I do not want marriage. He never said that. That didn't come out of his mouth.
Just because he didn't say it to you doesn't mean he didn't say it to her. But I'm going to tell you this right here. Oh, I love it, girl. Oh, you got to be my co-host more times. So my thing is, I'm thinking about Destiny, don't feel bad, baby. We're going to get you in, but you know I had to get church lady first. I had to get her first. But I'm going to let her come in and you know, share her perspective of what she's seen from a child's point of view. You know what I mean? So I'm going to talk to you from that same position. And my mom is on the line. You know, she crazy as hell. She don't give a damn what I say. But my mom and my daddy were married, honey. When he cut out, them two together, I don't even know what the hell they were freaking for. I don't know what even made them, but whatever they made me. The two of them together brought me and my brother to life, and thank you. I appreciate it, but them two, I don't know what happened. But anywho, so when my mom and dad were still married, when my dad started dating his significant other, and when I say they stayed together to his death, in October of 2016, they were still together. Now, they had their points where they broke up, got back together. But he told her, and I remember my dad, when it came to the relationship with Francine, I could pretty much tell you 99% of the time I believe him when he said it. He told her, when he divorced my mom, I think I told you that little funny story about when he asked me, I'm getting ready to divorce your mom, and I want to know if it's okay. I'm like, what the hell? What took you so damn long? And he was like, get out of my face. But anyway, he and my granddaddy were sitting around the table laughing. I'm like, come on, man. Really? What took so long? But anyway, he was with this woman at the time he was married to my mom. And he told her, listen, I've divorced one wife, and I don't want to marry again. So he told her, this. She said that he told her this, but she still looked for that diamond. Now, he never got her. Well, he finally did get her one, but it wasn't because he was asking her to marry him. It wasn't that. It just wasn't that. He told her this. So she could have made a decision after so long that, you know what, I want to be married. But no matter, she decided that she was going to stay. Even though she knew this man was not going to marry her, I don't care how much she loved him and he loved her, He won't gonna do it, and he didn't do it, but she stayed. She could have left. She could have stayed gone when she was gone, but that didn't happen. So what I'm saying is this. I'm not saying that their situation was perfect, and neither was the patient that we had the conversation with today, but we don't know the whole story behind his. I know the story behind my dad, but I'm thinking from what I understand with my dad, it could have been something similar to what he was saying. You know, you get married once, and you just, even though it didn't work out, you just don't think you want to go through that thing again. Because, you know, but even though my daddy act like he was a hard ass, he was an emotional ass. He was just emotional. He was, his feelings got hurt. He was an emotional person. And I can, you know, let my mama tell you that. He was more emotional than he let on. He really was. And even to the time he passed away, I always knew he loved my mama. He told other people that I love Ray. I've always loved Ray, and I just can't marry nobody else. No matter how much I love who he was with, he wasn't marrying anybody else. He gave his last name to one woman, and that was it for him. And so this could have been the same situation with this brother. Now, even though we don't agree, may not agree with, you know, with what his decision is, but we gotta understand he's been through some stuff. We ain't gonna never understand that man has gone through.
I mean,
and we don't know what his first wife did. You know what I mean?
We don't know, but at the same time, like I said, we can't take away from the fact that that woman has not been through stuff too. We know he said, okay, he put himself in situations that made him to where he was pretty much homeless. How do we know that she didn't help pick him up when he was homeless?
He could have. It could have been that. It could have, baby. It could have been that very thing. But he told her. Let's just assume he told her. We really don't know the whole. We really don't know the truth.
I don't want to assume that.
I'm going based on my experience. But either way, even if he told her, if he didn't though, Natasha, she still has free will to get her ass up and go. She stayed there. Right. So we can't, and even though we want to be mad at the man because he's the man, he's supposed to be the head, he ain't. But he ain't trying to play that part. So it's up to this woman. You know what?
I don't even think he played a part in this marriage. Because a real man who loves Christ is going to, if you're married to a woman, you're going to love that woman like Christ loved the church.
That's true.
You're
going to
do all you
did. If she crazy as hell, damn, if I'm going to keep loving him, I got to go.
But I'm just saying, like, when he was talking about the marriage thing, it's like neither one of you guys fought to keep the marriage. There's no way possible not one fought to keep the marriage alive.
Okay, you
and
know
now,
what?
Now you got your kids divorced.
Mama, I'm about to bring my mama on. Mama.
Yeah, what do you want?
Can you please explain your perspective of, as the person that was married to my crazy daddy, to my crazy mama? Just, and I'm being serious as a heart attack right now, because one, you got married young, you started young, and that I think that plays a role in a lot of marriages. Too, that, you know, you get married because of certain situations, and then you realize, I done made two mistakes. So just what is your take of what we've been talking about? And be honest, it's okay. Please be honest, Mama.
Well, let's see here. I don't really. At that particular time, I didn't think I was making a mistake. And your daddy didn't either, because we were both in love with each other. We really did love each other even to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But being that we were so young, I don't know whether you knew it or not or know it or not. When I met your father, he was a virgin and I was not.
Mama took his cookies.
Yeah, so I was the first woman he ever had, and I wasn't even a woman. I was only 13, and you know your father was 4 years older than me. So,
yeah, my parents was bad.
He had never, I had had, at 13, you know I didn't know what I was doing, but I had had maybe like two or three guys before your father, and anyway,
if I
he
go
didn't
digger.
Have a chance to experience anybody else, and I don't know, I guess when we got married and he was only 19 and, you know, he tried to take care of a family. He hadn't had no other inklings but me. And then he went to the job and met this woman. And, you know, he tried to hold on to me and hold on to her at the same time, to the point where we just couldn't. So once we just started doing tit for tat, you know, you're going to do something, I'm going to do something. So we just decided that it won't going to work. And even after we got divorced, whether y'all know it or not, for years, we were still flipping with each other.
I knew that, Mama. Shut up.
Yeah, so, you know, he always told me he won't go marry nobody else. Well, I ain't never said I won't go marry nobody else because the good Lord seen me a good man. Hallelujah. I'm married.
But he didn't get married yet.
Hallelujah. If God sent me a good man, I'm getting ready to get married, honey. Y'all gonna be coming down the aisle looking at your mama, telling me, "Oh, she looks so good." Yes, and I'm looking for God to send me a good man.
Hey.
So, you know,
but my point
it is what it is.
But my point is, in letting her share that, which is awesome, something new for me. I mean, I've heard something similar, but not in that light. And Mama, thank you, but. That what I'm saying to Tasha is as far as the guy that the patient that we encountered today, just think about it. It may not have been that, but it could be something similar. I mean, I knew, you know, my daddy was, you know, the big B when he met my mama, who was like not the big B. Mama, you know, she was like, huh, you know, she like, what knuckle? I'm gonna take you down. And she like, and my daddy was like, boom. He was like, oh my God. It's cotton is good. But anyway, you know, it could have been a similar situation to, you know, for what he had gone through. And
some men just don't want to get married again. But, you know, if you can't keep stringing no woman along, well I'm going to put it like this. You cannot string certain women along. The only women that you can string along like that, I'm like her, you got to have a weak spirit not to be able to want more for yourself. You got to want more for yourself. Nikki, now, you know you done taught me that. You got to want more. You got to know your self-value, your self-worth. And you know what? All this time that I've been a girl, I haven't had a relationship, right, Nikki? I might have had a couple of but it's not been a relationship. So I really don't get into that. I want something substantial. I want to build. I don't want to just chill no more.
Hey,
I want to build.
Come on,
so she don't want to be on that bro. You can't do this. I'm not the woman that's going to just let you keep walking all over me. You know, either you want me, and it ain't going to be no years for me, like I said. Now, I'm going to give you a year now because I'm 57. I'm going to give you a good year. If you can't make up your mind by then, God, I see you. Because I can't keep waiting for you.
Come on, Mama. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to put your ass on mute. You crazy. Love you. Thank you for your input. And we might come back to you because you probably one of the oldest ones on this call other than me, because I might need you to share some light on some other stuff. But let me bring my baby on. She been waiting all. Look at her been waiting for 34 minutes, 50 seconds.
She's
going to
bring me on the show.
Hey. First of all, it's Tez over there.
Yep.
Okay, he need to get on the phone.
Huh?
He need to participate. We need a man's perspective.
Shut up.
You heard our conversation. You tell us what you think.
I can't hear y'all now.
You can't hear me?
No, I can.
Okay, so tell us with the whole conversation that we've had and the information that you've heard, what is your take on this whole conversation? From what we talked about at work today to what you're hearing right now, what's your take on it?
I mean, me personally, I can see it from both points of view. I can see it from Natasha's point of view. I can see it from your point of view. I can also, in a sense, see it from the patient's point of view. I guess it's just all in your thoughts, your feelings, how you feel about certain stuff. Everybody's entitled to their own opinions and their own feelings, and it's just like you just keep saying, just because you feel some way don't mean that it's right or wrong, and just because somebody else feels a different way than what you feel don't make them right or wrong. Everybody's just got different perceptions, and everybody just feel different about different things, and I think that comes from two stuff that you go through personally. So it's just like, of course, your thoughts and your feelings are going to be based on your experiences.
Okay, so what? Answer this question. You've been in a relationship with my boy for about a year now?
Yeah.
How long is too long before he put a ring on it and be able to take care of you and that baby?
I mean, I feel like you can't make anybody do anything, but at the same time, it's just like you said with that lady, like, that's her. And her, whatever she allowed or she's allowing, what the point of that, she's allowing it to be whatever way it is or whatever. So I do agree with that, but just like at the same time, I can't really say what I feel because it's like I have stuff that I've been through, stuff that I've gone through, so I'm not going to necessarily say that I'm ready. So it's just like that's kind of a hard question to answer.
Well, no, it's not. You answered it. You answered it in the most mature form ever. So because you said, because of everything you've gone through, you don't know if you're ready to be a wife.
And that's if I can't really try to put a time frame on, oh, you better do this by this time, or I mean, because it's just like I've just learned that when you try too hard or if you force and stuff, it's not gonna work or happen. So it's just like you kind of just gotta let nature take your course. Not saying, oh, just be dumb and just go with the flow and sit like, no, not saying that. But
I mean, I wouldn't want you to wait till baby girl start driving a damn car to say, okay,
oh,
it's time for you to marry me because the baby's driving a car now.
That's it. 35 years.
Yeah, my daddy was with Frank. Did I say it? I almost say her name. Was with his significant other for 38. Yeah, I was 4 years old when they got together. I'm 42.
And your mama was still married to him?
No, they were divorced when I was 12. But my thing is, for a person,
wait, but they were still together from 4 to 12.
They were still together.
Married and together.
Yeah, they were together. Yeah. Well,
my mom and dad had already separated
when I was like 5. But
they were separated.
But
they were still married.
They were technically
still married.
Yeah, right. And I think I'm saying this right. I think I was about 5 years old. Mama, I guess I'm right. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, we all separated.
Yeah.
Oh, Mama. Okay, so I was about 5 or 6. I remember I was, I think the last time that we were all together under one roof, we were on Candlewood Drive. I was going to Teacher Memorial School. So I was
It was 1982. 19 what? Yeah, the last time that me, all of us together, was in 1982 on Candlewood Drive.
Right, so that's where I was talking about.
1992,
so
I was born that year.
Right,
don't
so when
it.
You was born, what a fool, Lionel. Whoopi, I was born in the 90s. But anyway, so by the time I was 5 or 6 years old, they were separated, but they didn't get divorced till five or six years later. But they had moved on with their lives by that time. I mean, even though they still technically loved each other, they knew that at whatever point they were in their lives, they weren't good for either one of them. You know, they weren't good for each other at that time, and that's okay. But what I'm saying is, people go through things that we'll never be able to fathom, never be able to understand. There was a reason And even if it was his fault or if it was somebody else's fault, there was something that influenced him that triggered something where it made him reach a point of no return where he's homeless and he's pushing the cart. It's not about him being married in a relationship. It wasn't just about the relationship that he is in right now. There are some other variables, some other things that play along in his decision, even today, that has nothing to do with the lady he's with. However, the lady he is with has to know a little bit of something, even if she don't know all about it. She has to know something enough to know, am I willing to stay here whether he marries me or not, to make sure this man lives out his full potential. You know, it's up to her. She can say, I can't do this no more. She has a choice that she can make.
But yeah, maybe she feels like she can change his mind.
Honey, at 60-something years old, ain't no mind changing. Look at my mama
almost 67 years old,
and I'm trying to get her to stop doing certain things, and she look at me like, if you don't shut the hell up, leave me the hell on. She's 57, what can I do? But let her live her life. She do what is right for her. But I can't tell her what technically. What I can do is either say, you know what, go and kill your damn self. I ain't got nothing to do with it no more. I can do that. That's my choice. But I choose to say, I'll take the damn tongue lashing. I know she gonna cuss me out every time she light that damn cigarette. I know if I say stop smoking, she gonna say shut the hell up. She gonna get mad, she gonna start cussing me out, and that's just something I'm willing to take. So,
but this is the thing that get me. But this is the thing that's getting me. At the end of the day, he has now, his children think that it's okay to divorce.
Okay, stop. Stop right now. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. His children now, because now we're saying it's affecting his children, and now he's saying, now you're saying they're thinking it's okay to divorce. We're going to come back. You know I got to go to break. I'm sorry. I got to fill my wine glass back up. Anyway, just, Mama, shut up. Even though you're on mute, you probably over there cussing. I got you. Let me pull her back. I want her to join in the phone. My mama, I want her to tell some jokes, but she can't keep me clean. But anyway, so stay tuned. We'll be back. I'm going to put everybody on mute. I'm going to go to a couple songs, go pee-pee in the pot, come on back. Latasha, we're going to start with how the children become affected in this whole thing. Okay? Y'all stay tuned. Y'all go nowhere. Go and get your family and your friends. Tell them to come on and join this show because we're coming up on the last leg on this good conversation. We 47 minutes out, and I think we can go on and on and on for hours, but we gotta do what we got to do, and we'll just have to do a part two if possible. But stay tuned to the Miss Keep It Moving show where we're talking about tying the knot. K/NOT. We got a mental health perspective on it. We got some young thoughts. We got some older thoughts. Just stay tuned. And who's going to get that $20 gift card? We'll soon find out. Y'all stay tuned now.
Let it burn. stars if you're lying.
I know it's scary, 'cause someone always get hurt when you care. And I felt that way too. But ready or not, it's coming for you.
Get that fire,
just let it burn. There's no running when it's your turn.
Call me crazy, but I think I found
just
a love on the line.
Somebody like me. If you could love somebody like me.
Welcome back to the Miss Keep It Moving Show. I am your host, Nakikia, a.k.a. Miss Keep It Moving. So you know the show is all about me, right? It's like I'm just playing. It's about everybody else in the community. I'm trying to share information, trying to bring some reality to your life and help you understand how mental health and mental health issues affect the way we think. And if you've been listening to the show, I think a lot of you may understand that there has to be some underlying issues regarding mental health in this story, in this episode. And there always is. Whether we want to see it or not, there always is. There's always an underlying issue to why people make decisions that they make, whether we agree with them or not. What I've learned over the course of my little 42 years of living is that people make decisions based on what they know, based on the environments in which they have been a product of, and based on what's comfortable at the time. Now, my mother made a very valid point to me about when she and my father were young, they really did love each other. And I believe it. I swear to God, I believe that from the very pits of my soul. I believed it. Because a lot of the pictures that I view, I mean, I can see that there was a sense of happiness. I can see that there was a sense of innocence and unfamiliarity, if I'm saying it right. But they were doing it together. And I do see a connection in some of the pictures that I've seen. Now, as people grow up and get older, things change, shit happens, and your perspective on life changes based on the experiences you've been faced with. And so even though you were one way at this time, you can be another way 20 years later. You could be bad 20 years down back in the past, and 20 years later you can be, oh, this is a sensible person. But what did this person go through? What had this person experienced from that point to their current situation that had them to change to the person that they are today? And we still may not agree with some of the decisions that they have made and some of the decisions that they are making. We may not necessarily agree with the lifestyle that people live, but that's really not up to us, because ultimately that's between them and God, and we have to just leave it at that, whether we agree with it or not. The story that we got from one of the patients today, you know, he being in a relationship of 35 years with a woman he decided he was not going to marry. And the lady who made a decision to stay with a man, knowing clearly 35 years later this man is not going to put a ring on it, they both have made a decision. He made a decision not to marry her, but to love and care for her in his own way. She made a decision to accept it, despite what she really wanted in her heart. And that is just something we have to accept. Whether we like it or not, the decision has been made. He's going to be with her as long as she's accepting that he's not going to marry her. And she's going to be with him despite the fact he's not going to marry her. They've both made a decision. I want to be with you despite what the other person wants. And the question is, you know, although we can see that going on, how does that affect the other people who are involved and how it influences the other lives that are involved? Because we know that there could be children involved, or hell, it could be a dog and cat involved. I'm just, you know, being funny, but just think about that. What about other people who are involved, and does it matter? Well, yes, it matters. It matters when there are children involved. How does your decision influence how your children respond and live their lives in their relationships? So I'm going to bring Tasha back on and let her elaborate on that. Hey, Tasha. Welcome back to the show.
Hey.
So you were getting ready to go in on the whole, what about the children? So you tell us, what about the children?
Okay. I'm going to be real honest with you guys. So I was raised in pretty much an abusive household. My dad would beat my mama's ass, and she still submit herself to him. And we, you know, me, my brother, my sister would be like, what in the world? Why haven't you divorced him and this and that? And she was just like, biblically, I'm not going to divorce him because that's my husband. I love him, and he will change. Did he change through the course? He stopped hitting her, but still there was verbal abuse going on. Now, me as a child looking at that, I could either say, okay, it's okay for me to find a man that's going to beat me, curse me out, you know, and pretty much make the household hell for me every time I come home and for my children, or I could take a different route. This man here divorces his wife and feels that it's okay for his sons to divorce their wives. And I'm pretty sure from how his lifestyle is going and how he said, well, my sons are getting a divorce, the one is contemplating divorce, that he didn't really counsel them. He didn't really tell them, hey, you might want to, you know, go to counseling. You might really want to see if, you know, it's deep enough for you to get divorced. He is condoning it. He's saying, okay, it's okay for them to get divorced. If they're not happy, then they can get divorced. And now, as his sons, they're like, okay, I can get this divorce and find some another weak female that I can string along. Because in his eyes, to be honest, if you think about it, he probably thought he was married to probably a strong woman, and he probably didn't want no woman that was stronger than him in a relationship or in the marriage. And so now, like your mom said, he found himself a weak vessel. He found himself a weak woman who has probably been through some stuff with other men and felt like she has no more worth, no more self-worth. And so now she running behind him. So
okay.
Like I said, it affects the children to the point where his kids think that, okay, it's okay. And so now when I have kids and my son sees that I went through a divorce, you know, if something don't work right in their household, then, you know, now my son's going to have a divorce. You know what I'm saying? And it goes on and on and on and on and on, and it needs to be broken. That's how I feel. I'm like, I don't think that it's right because
Mom,
when are the real men going to stand up?
Mama, she sound like me, don't she? She's Mama.
Yep.
You sound like me when I was her age, right? Don't you sound like me when I was her age? Let me tell you why you sound like me. Because this is what I had to understand, especially when I started having children. And we're not gonna go into the whole, you know, background of it all. But my mom and daddy relationship wasn't perfect. Even though they loved each other, it wasn't perfect at all. And I've seen stuff as a kid I shouldn't have seen either. However, this is what I had to learn, Tasha. Nobody can teach you anything, something that they have not been taught. You can't expect Mr. Who we talked to today to teach his sons the value of love, marriage, and respect, and commitment. You can't tell somebody to teach something they don't know. That is what I had to learn. And that was the reason I was able to get over so many things that were eating me alive as a young adult. That I had to get over that my parents weren't taught some of the things that I'm learning right now. They started asking me questions in my late 30s and 40s, my late 30s and my early 20-40, started asking me questions because they hadn't heard or understood these things. And when I got that, honey, I was able to move forward with my life. I was able to have a wonderful relationship with them. But you can't have someone teach you something they don't know. This man clearly had been through something before he even started having children. And, honey, me and my mama can go in right now about that whole situation, but we can't do that right now. But I'm telling you, this is why I understand her, even though she get on my nerves. I love her because she's a strong, she's stronger than she would ever realize. She is stronger than she would ever know to me, because I could not, I don't think I could have endured some of the stuff that she has experienced in her life. But I do realize now, and it took me till I started having children, because I was angry to that point, because I couldn't get it. But I understand. Now I understand. I get it, because she didn't know. She just did not know, honey. And this man did not know.
But what
now,
if he did know?
Now, at 6 years old, my daddy still didn't know. He said, even though my daddy know, he said to me, maybe I need to get some mental health work because I didn't know I might have been going through that. He didn't know. He didn't know. This is before this man got sick and passed on. He knew because it was a show that he had participated in. That's the one thing he started doing. He was participating in the show, or he was coming on the shows and listening. And listening to what we were saying, and he said, I think I might need help. This man, damn, he's 6 years old. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but honey, when they get it, they get it. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, I know you're not mad at him, but I want you to understand his way of thinking. It's not your way of thinking. When you are in your 30s, this man in his 60s, the time frame, the lifestyle is so different than it was for his time. And what we have to try to understand is his perspective and how he was taught. He didn't have all that information that we have right now today. He just didn't. My mother, my father, did not have the information that we have right now. And so I have to excuse him. I don't condone it, but I have to excuse his behavior. I have to excuse his decision. And even the lady that he was with, I have to excuse her decision. Don't condone it. Because I'm damn if I'm going to be with somebody for 35 years and you don't put a diamond on it. Matter of fact, by 35 years, it need to be 10 carats. It need to be so heavy that it's breaking my finger off. But what I'm saying is we have to excuse their relationship. Yes, Mom.
Let them talk.
Hmm? Mom, what you say?
I don't want to excuse him.
I know you don't.
Tonight I'm going to be stepped in. I don't want to excuse him because I'm going to be with you. I'm probably confused because when my grandparents were, married, they stuck it out with all 12 children. They stuck it out no matter.
So did Michael and his mom were all 13. Matter of fact, it was 15 of them. She adopted two of them.
Right, and I'm just saying, and they stuck it out. So why all of a sudden it comes to him, and it's just like, okay, well, with him doing his day and age, we're just going to have to excuse it. I don't want to excuse it, but you got to understand.
You got to understand, it's not your battle to fight, because I promise you, he's still going through that whole battle by himself. Maybe not by himself. He's going through that whole battle, talking to God about it, and he's dealing with that. He is.
But
and you feel some type of way because of your experience with your grandparents. Huh?
But how long is it going to take him to get over that first?
My mama tried to say something. Go ahead, old lady. What you got to say?
Oh, go ahead.
Mama, what are you doing over there?
For me?
Let me find out Fred over there.
I wish it was a Fred or anybody.
You know what? You're going on mute. You're going on mute. Now, what do you have to say?
About what?
You know what she's going on mute. That means Fred is over there.
I'm just listening to y'all and what you were saying about, people can't teach you something that they didn't know, because like you were saying, my mama didn't teach me the stuff that I needed to know to sustain when I had kids, so I couldn't teach you nothing. I was lost in my own hellhole, from the things that I went through with my mama and my parents. Just like your father, he wasn't a very open person, I can be very open and very expressive. Your daddy wasn't that tight.
My daddy was very quiet and private. Yes, he was.
That made him hold on to a lot of hate that he had that he didn't even realize was holding.
Right.
So,
So
I couldn't teach you nothing because I was going through my own hell, thinking about my own life, and I got to where I was in my life through the things that my mama took me through. And like she said, it's a generational curse. It just trickles down to one parent. Like, my mama went through things with her mama that I didn't know. That's why she was the way she was. And ain't no telling what her mama did to her. So it just trickles down, but it has to stop somewhere. It really has to stop somewhere. It does.
Like she said, it has to stop somewhere.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I said.
But I decided that it's going to stop with me. Now, like I explained to you earlier, me and my husband, I love that chunky book so much. I love him, Jesus Christ. But we've been through. And not just because, you know, we want to give up, because we don't, because otherwise we wouldn't have made it 13 years. But it's not been easy. It's not been easy. Tasha, it's not easy, baby girl. It's just not.
No.
It's a challenge. But me and Michael have decided that we like Sherry and what's his name? Sonny Bono. I got you, babe. Ding, ding, ding. I got you, babe. I cannot ask for a better husband or baby daddy than Michael. Because, I mean, listen, we gonna go through our struggles. That's just what it is. But we have decided. You got to remember you have to realize the type of parents we come from. My parents were young and dumb, and they were in love. They divorced. They went through their trials and tribulations as young kids, and it seeped into their children. What I'm trying to do is stop that from seeping into my children and share my story. If I got to do my job, I don't give a damn how it makes me look. If I look stupid, weak, or whatever, I don't care. I will look the part as long as my babies come out and that curse is broken. That's my job right now. So hopefully, even though he's talking about his sons getting divorced, we're going to pray that somebody in that generation says, you know what? I can't do this. I've been married probably longer than my mama and daddy been together. Were together at the time when they were young. Okay? So my goal is to stay married till we die, where we can be on the porch and we can be rocking in the wind and swatting flies and eating tobacco if that's what we choose to do, and drinking some wine, whatever. But everybody might not make that decision. And we already know that there's some stuff that's going on, but we have to take that into account. And Tasha, we know how it is when people go through stuff. Baby girl, even in your young age, you've been through so much that influences your thoughts. Just imagine that. A lot of the decisions that you make as a mother, as a woman, as a parent, is based on your experiences in your life. Your relationship with your mom, your sisters, your brother, your cousins that you see every morning during the dawn, trying to make the drum make, look, I'm doing the fingers for you. But I'm just saying, just think about that. Just think about your own situation and what you go through that a lot of people may not agree with. Think about homie Slice and what he way older than we are. Just think about the time in which he grew up. Just imagine the environment he might have grown up in. Something negative influenced his decision. And a lot of times, as women, we can make a little bit more of a better choice than men, in my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm saying I knew when I was 10 years old. At that point, that was before, you know, we started living with my pop. You know, I decided I can't have my life be this way. Not because I thought I was going to be better, but because I just saw the hardship my mom was going through. You know, mom made decisions based on how she grew up. And to understand that now, I'm like, oh, my God, I just wish I could have swept her off her feet and took her out of that. Like, I wish at 7, 8, 9, 10, I could have let her know, Mama, you don't have to sugar to that. Mama, you don't have to do this. You're such a beautiful person. Your heart is kind, and you're just beautiful. You don't have to do this stuff. I didn't know that. I couldn't, I mean, as a kid, I couldn't tell her that. She didn't hear it from a kid. She needed to hear that from her parents. And I get that now. You have to understand that people grow up in environments that are not conducive to the people that they could be. You become a product of your environment. You become a product of your society. And for some reason, God placed his hand. I think it's, I'm telling you, Mama, and I know you're going to agree, Essie Mae did some hard-ass training for all of us. I don't think we will, any of us would be where we are right now if that lady had not prayed. Now, I do believe prayer works in situations like this. It may not work in the time we want it, but I do agree it works, and I do agree that a lot of that praying from SMA, Karen, the Reverend, the great Reverend, the late great Reverend SMA Harris, that prayer, she prayed hard. She did. And I think a lot of that, you know, plays a role in where we are right now. But I'm just trying to get you to understand that if we can be mad at him and put all the blame on him as a man, but as a woman, especially a woman of today with the technology and the things that we know and the times that have evolved, we got to know better. We can't put all this on a man. We have to know that as women, and I don't mean that whole strong, independent, I don't need you. No. When you know that you are worth more than this man is explaining to you, you know your worth. If you want something that he can't give you, keep it moving, love or not. I think I told you earlier how I sat in the corner of the IHOP in my second, it was my second year, it was 1995, my second year of college. And I had been dating my ex-fiancé at that time for almost 6-7 years. But he was a dog, and I knew he wasn't good for me, and I knew he wasn't going to do me no good. But I stayed with him anyway, and I paid for his food, and I let him drive my car. But that was a decision I made when I was young and dumb and stupid. But I got tired of that. So I had to make a decision. Either I'm going to go through this process of hurt, my heart going to break, and I'm going to sit in corners and cry. But dad's on it, at the end of the day, I'm going to have my dignity, and I'll be able to move on. This is the decision that lady has to make. I don't care how many years it's been. She got to make the decision. She's going to cry. She's going to hurt. She's going to shit and piss on herself, and she just got to make the decision. She's going to do it and move on and keep it moving. So what were you going to say? Go ahead.
Huh?
What were you gonna say?
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not blaming everything on the man, because she plays a vital role in it as well. Because if she probably stood her ground and would have said, okay, no, I'm not gonna have this, you know, who he could have said, all right, well, fine, you're right, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna go ahead on the marriage because you have been supporting me and you've been helping me. I'm not blaming everything on him, but I do believe, like, as the man, you know, he has the power to, you know, release her and just let her go and just really, really be upfront with her. Because how he was talking, I was just like, oh, Lord, now you want to bring the Bible in it. And then it made me think, because some men use the Bible to manipulate women to keep them around, you know what I'm saying, to help enable whatever that they're going through, whether it's mental illness or whatever the case may be. And that's why, and then it made me think about when I was dating this young dude. And he started going to our church too. He was like in the army or whatever. And he told me he wasn't ready for a relationship, which I wasn't thinking about having a relationship with him. But I guess since we connected so well, I guess he kind of wanted that. But I saw what he could not give me. And is she really looking at what he's giving her? Because he ain't giving her much of nothing.
That you know of. Because we don't know.
We don't
because
know.
She might be okay. He might be giving her the world, the moon, and the stars. The only thing he ain't gave her is a ring. He ain't
and
made
the
it
ring
least.
Is, yeah, and the ring is the world, the moon, and the stars. She wanted to say, I do.
It's not me. The ring is the paper. Technically, it shouldn't even be the paper because the matrimony is between her and God, right? So we shouldn't even really need paper or a ring to say we married. If both of us agree to be married, then we marry. Whether it takes a piece of paper from the courthouse or a ring from the jeweler. If we
but
say you know, we marry.
Why won't he say it like that then instead of saying, oh, heck no, I ain't getting married again. Lord, no. But in a way.
Because
he
doesn't. He told you what he wanted. He told you he don't want to be married. He told you. He was honest. Whether you
don't how long.
He was honest with you. It's up to you. He was honest with you. You are not
don't
able to.
Her alone.
This man was honest. He was honest with you. He told you, I don't want to be married. My daddy was honest with Francine when he said, I don't want to be married anymore. He gave one woman his last name, and she is on this call tonight. And he has always said to me, there will be no other woman that get the Wilson name. I've already given that out, and that is it. Now, the woman he was with, she didn't take that. With a grain of salt. She was like, I don't make this nigga mad. I mean, because she was older. The lady that he was dating and he loved for almost 40 years, and I believe they love, and I know she loved him, and now I really do see that she loved him. It's that's a whole nother story in itself. But he told her, I'm going to love you, but I'm not marrying you. I've gave one woman, and he said it. I will never.
He loved her. He loved her, but he wasn't in love with her.
I don't know, Mama. I think we were just nigga. Wait, Mama. Let's say it at the same time. Nigga, you was wrong. He was in love with her. Yes, he was.
Yeah,
yes, he was in love with her.
Yeah.
He was in love. We ain't gonna call no names. Remember what I said to you? Remember when I said to you, Mama wasn't even in the picture, but he and his partner had separated from the time I had graduated from, right before I graduated high school. I think they started dating my last year of high school and up until my second year of college. But come to find out, he was going from his current friend back to his old friend.
Uh-huh.
Remember what I said? When the old friend came back, she ain't come back clean. He still stayed. I didn't call no names, and I didn't say what she won't clean with, but I was saying that when she came back, if a person leave and come back and they dirty, nigga, bye. Holla.
Yeah.
That nigga didn't come back clean, and he still stayed. He did what he wanted to, though. But he still stayed. Don't tell me he wasn't in love with that. It was beyond the physical at that point.
Yeah.
It really was. So, I mean, we have to look at things we have to accept things that we can't see. We have to accept things that we don't understand. It ain't no but, baby girl. It is what it is. We ain't going to never understand why people make decisions that they make, but they make them.
No, I just want to get to, like, how can you say that you love someone else so deeply that you won't even marry them and give them your last name? He loved your mom a lot that he gave her his last name. When a man gives a woman his last name.
Wait a minute. Not only did he give her his last name, he had children with her, and then he didn't have, now, hold on, he got the other person pregnant, but this is where God came in. That's not equally yoked. Them babies didn't make it. He had two sets of twins two times. None of the pregnancies was viable, which means God already gonna play a hand in it. Like, nigga, this ain't even equally yoked right here. Your wife is over here. So, God gonna make whatever happen with that right there. So, the only two kids my daddy ended up with were by the one that you talked to on the phone. And my daddy was cool with that.
And guess what? You guys were under the covenant. You guys were under the covenant. It's just like Abraham and Hagar. When he's laid with the maiden, God did not acknowledge that child, but he acknowledged the child that was under the covenant.
Well,
I get what you're saying.
That's the point I'm making. So what I'm saying is, if God is going to be involved, he's going to be involved. If God is going to allow stuff to happen, he's going to allow stuff to happen. One, he's allowed this relationship to take place for 35 years. We don't know if they have kids or not. It doesn't even matter. At this point, the point that you're only seeing is the fact that he's been with this woman for 35 years, and she's accepted that with no ring. What we have
but
to do
I'm,
is get
I'm saying,
past
I'm saying
is,
the
like,
whole thing
here.
I'm saying the whole thing, like, you know, it's affecting the kids, too, and it's jumping from generation to generation, and when is it going to stop? Like, you can't think that it's okay to walk around and parade. Like, a lot of men that's been in the Army, that's only a handful of them that's been married and stuck with the wife that they've been married to for years. But a lot of them, they don't. They divorce. They do. They have all these kids everywhere, and it's just like, at the end of the day, it's like, when is marriage be what it's supposed to be?
Okay.
Like, when is it going to be sacred? When
saying.
Is it going
to
be real?
To answer your question, then, like I mentioned to you earlier, I've been married for 13 years this year. Okay? 13 years.
Right.
I mean, it might be a little bit of time for a whole lot of people that's probably married longer. But for this generation that we're living in right now, 13 years is like being married for 50 years, okay?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this. The 13 years me and Michael have been married have not been easy at all. Matter of fact, we have been on the brink of get your ass out. I can't take it no more. You're getting on my damn nerves. I can't stand you. You can't stand me. Which it really wasn't it. The fact is that we grew up. We didn't know how to grow. We hadn't grown together because we had so many barriers, so many obstacles. And a lot of people don't get to that realization. Fortunately, we did. We got three kids. I was pregnant when I married him, and that's not the reason, and I have to always clarify. My husband asked me to marry him on July the 12th, 2003. I didn't find out I was pregnant until January of 2004. Boom. So just to knock that out the block. And I didn't think I could have children. So, of course, I didn't know I was pregnant because I was told I couldn't. So I won't worry about that. Anyway, the fact that we started off, we got a kid. The next year we bought a house. I went to school to get my master's degree. We had so many barriers. We got involved with the church that we just kind of lost each other in the shuffle. And then we had miscarriage. And then we had another kid. And then we had two miscarriages. And then we had Tate. It was just so much. And even with having Tate, my daddy got sick. It was just so much. Daddy got sick. Before daddy got sick, we got my mama trying to get you. She coming from Kansas. She coming and bringing in her new life. And there were just so many things that played a part in the whole, we were together, but we were like, oh, we just support each other. Blue. And we had to come back to that realization. So when life happens. Life just freaking happens. And sometimes people can handle it depending on their mental status. And sometimes people can't. And we have to accept that. And luckily, and with the grace of God, we were able to understand that, you know what, we individually have gone through some stuff. Excuse me. We've individually gone through some stuff to get us to this point. So how are we going to get it back? How are we going to reconnect? And that is where we are now. And I'm glad that I have the type of man that I have. Because believe it or not, he's a patient brother. Me, I'm like, bye, nigga. He like, no, you my wife. I love you. I'm here to support you. I'm not like the other men in the world. I'm just, you know, I'm. It seems like I'm making jokes, but I'm serious. As a heart attack right now. A lot of people haven't. He's so much like his dad. He really is. His dad and his mom were together. They got married real young, and they had 13 kids and raised, adopted two of them. And, you know, that's the type of family he come from. I don't come from that. So I'm like, nigga, bye. You can go holla. But he's like, I seen my mom and daddy go through. No, they didn't give up. That's who I am.
That's
And but everybody's not like that, and we can't expect them to be. We have to accept them for who they are and work with where they are.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the whole beauty of it. Like, I already know, like, marriage is not going to be easy. I mean, this daily walk that we walk trying to follow Jesus Christ and his footsteps, he already said it's not going to be easy. We all know that. But I'm just saying, it's just like, maybe your husband is just way more mature than the other man. And like you guys said, I mean, you don't know what you haven't been taught. You know, you only know what you see. So it's just like, well, maybe he just wasn't mature enough, and he just said, just forget it. I just want to cut it off because it's too rough for me. It's too hard for me, and I'd rather just have a partner through life. Maybe that you're right, but at the end of the day, like I said, if he does not want to marry her, release her and let her go. Or if she sees, like, I hope that she really, really, really prays about it and fasts about it so that God can open up her eyes and open up her ears so that she can hear what this man is really saying and so that she can see what place she is at, because she was not happy when we looked at her. When we left, when they were leaving, she was not happy.
No, she might not have been. And we know what, girl.
I don't want to live a life where I'm not happy. And all.
And you should. And you should. None of us should. But let me tell you something. We got 2 minutes and 30 seconds before this show ends. That's how deep this conversation can get. So what I want to do is just say this. I want to say thank you to everybody who has joined the show and who were able to take in the conversation that we've had. It's very important, and it's very enlightening to see the different perspectives, especially from someone who was married and in the situation, to someone who's not really been married, who's looking at it from a young and single woman's perspective and how she sees marriage. It gives you some things to think about. And I want you all to think about this topic, and just think about what you are willing to endure, and if it's worth enduring that for a lengthened period of time. Are you willing to be with someone for 10, 20, 35 years and still not have that commitment that you may long for, but the person has already said, or you should have at some point figured out, okay, this person is not trying to marry me. So are you going to stay or are you going to go? It's up to you. Do you feel like this is a person that God has sent to you? Or do you know that this is not what God has for you? And are you willing to move on? So you have to make the decision, but not be mad at the person who says, I'm not ready for this. You have to make the decision of whether you want to move on or not. If you have questions about this episode, please hit me up on Facebook. Keep it moving. Walton on Facebook. Hit me on Twitter. Miss Keep It Moving 5 and blackvibes.com on the Miss Keep It Moving show. Thank you for joining. Take it easy. And until next time, no matter what, keep it moving.
Sometimes your homies can be your worst enemies. They're the closest to you. They know your ins and outs. Act like bitches.